Good morning, I'm just Rabbi Crown. So today we are starting very bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Last few words on the bottom, it says Ramile, Rav Papa, Bershmul, Rav Yosef, like the last six or seven lines. So just to remind ourselves, so we were discussing the Mishnah that is on Lamed Vav Amud Beis that says, at the beginning it says it has a list of women that don't have a knas. It says, Ve'elosh Einlam Knas, these are women who don't get a Knas, someone who is with a Gioris or a Shvuya or a Shukla, Shaniftuv, Shaniskairu, Vishnistakru, so whether it's a convert who converted, someone who was captured and was redeemed, or someone who was a Shivcha Knanis and was freed and therefore became Jewish. If they were above the age of three when that this happened, they don't get a knas because the assumption is that they must have had relations at some form during that time, and therefore they wouldn't be considered to be besulos and they wouldn't be eligible for the knas. But Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and he said a shvuya sheniftes, a captive who was ransomed or was redeemed, harehi b'kedushasa. She's still considered to be a kedush, you know, to maintain her purity, and therefore he disagreed. So we then went into a discussion about what is Rabbi Yehuda's basis, like what is he really saying. So we basically came down to there were two different views, and the first view was that it really wasn't so much that it was that she wasn't. She wasn't a basula anymore. It was more that the guy who rapes her shouldn't get away with it scot-free. So he should still have to pay a fine, even though she wasn't really a basula. He shouldn't be a chota niskar was the term. So he shouldn't be able to do something bad and still get away with it. But then there's the other view, which is Rav Yochanan, who basically says, no, what he really means is Dushasa Kaima, that in all cases, he believes that she's really still maintained her Kedusha. She really never really had relations. So now we're going to continue to discuss how is that possible and to try to discuss Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, which is that she was able to remain a Besula. So Ramile, again, very last few words on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Ramile, Rav Papa, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yosef, turning to Lamed Zayin on the top. Besavar Rabbi Yehuda b'kedusha sakt kaima. Does Rabbi Yehuda really believe that this is again the shvuya? This is the captive who was redeemed. That she was able to remain in the state of kedusha without having any problems. V'atani learned in a paraisa that seems to be contradictory. Hagiyoresh and iskayra v'rasa dam. So a woman who converts and she sees blood. So just to what this is really talking about here is that. Typically, when a woman becomes a Jewish woman becomes a nida, in addition to the typical rules that we're familiar with, when it comes to issues of tumah and tahara, anything that she had contact with prior to the point of becoming a nida is retroactively considered tumah, either for 24 hours before she discovered the blood, or from the last time that she did. A bedika, she did an investigation and saw that she was tahor. So it's whichever is less. So if she did a bedika 12 hours earlier and she didn't see blood, then you kind of work within the 12 hours. But otherwise, you would assume anything for 24 hours retroactively becomes tame. So when it comes to, when it comes to a giores, someone who converts and she sees dam, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, dayashata. It doesn't go back retroactively. But things only become tameh going forward from the point that she discovers blood, as opposed to a typical Jewish woman where you might have up to 24 hours of retroactive tumah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he disagrees, harehi kechol hanashim, that she is like all women, umetameh me'es la'es, and she's either tameh for 20, me'es la'es means for the 24 hours, or from the last time she did an examination. And that's point one. And utsricha Lahamtin shlosha chadashim. And Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, in addition, this agioret, someone who converts, has to wait 3 months before marrying. And the purpose of this is that, you know, we learned this a bunch when we did Yevamos, is that there's this concept of the 3 month waiting period, and that's to ensure that she's not pregnant from a prior relationship. So the implication here is that if Rabbi Yehuda, and this is the contradiction, right? Rabbi Yehuda says that she is considered a basula, but he also says that she has to wait 3 months. The only reason to wait 3 months is to, the assumption is that she had a relationship with somebody beforehand, and you're concerned that maybe she's pregnant with that other man, and therefore you wait 3 months to avoid a problem. So you can't have it both ways, right? You can't say we're under the assumption that she's a virgin, and we're also going to wait 3 months because we're concerned that she had relations, and therefore she might be pregnant with somebody else. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yossi liaris minas miyad. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. In that instance, and this is just completing the Bereisa, he says, no, she's allowed to get married right away. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one who said she's considered a basula, and Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation is because he believes that she remained a basula, and it's not the concept of no, we didn't think she was a basula, but we just didn't want to let the guy get away with it. He holds that she's clearly a basula, and this is contradictory. She's either a basula or we're worried that she had relations. Amalei, so the question is, Gioris Ashfuya Karamis. We're talking about two different things here, right? We're talking about, in our case, we're talking about a Gioret. We're talking about someone who converted. And in the Mishnah, we're talking about a Shvuya. We're talking about a woman who was captured. So in the case of a Gioret, you're talking about a woman who was not Jewish, and she became Jewish. When it comes to a shvuya, a captive, we're talking about a Jewish woman, right? Jewish woman was captured and was redeemed. Gioret lo minatra nafshe. The Gioret isn't necessarily as careful prior to her conversion because she grew up not Jewish and then she converted. A shvuya minatra nafshe, you know, the shvuya is a Jewish girl who knows the rules and is going to be careful not to have a problem. So you can't really, you know, you can't really make this comparison. These are two different cases. But we're not done. Let's compare shvuya to shvuya. Let's compare the case of a captive to a captive. So a Jewish girl was captured to another case of a Jewish girl was captured. The Tanya, another Bereisa. Hagiyoret, Vashvuya, Vashivka. All three of these cases, a convert, someone who was captured, which is our case, Vashivka, or a slave woman. Sheniftu, Vishniskairu, Vishnistakru, Yaseris al Benosh, Shamin Yom Echad, who were either ransomed or converted or were freed once they were 3 years and 1 day. Srichos Lahamtin Shlosha Chadashim. They have to wait 3 months. Guess who said that? They're very Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda, right? So here we clearly have a case where he says when it comes to a Shvuya, he also requires a 3 month waiting period.
Why did they even bring the case before that?
Why did they bring? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. It kind of starts to make the comparison, and then it's like this isn't the same thing, right? But then it says let's clarify that we're not only talking about the other thing. So it's a good question. I don't know, but you know, the Gemara obviously had the same question. It's like, why are you bringing up this case? Bring up the better case, right? The case that's more analogous. Rabbi Yossi. So in these cases, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says you have to wait 3 months, and Rabbi Yossi says no, you don't have to wait 3 months. So they ask, how do you get away with that? What's the story here? So Ishtik, he didn't have an answer. Rabbi Yossi didn't have an answer. Armalei, eventually he said, "Mi de shamalei b'hav." Have you heard anything that might reconcile this? Armalei, Rav Papa Rav Shmuel said to Rabbi Yosef, Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes. This is what Rav Sheshes says. Shara'ua Shenivala. So the Bereisa here speaks where they actually saw that she had relations with one of her captors. So unlike, you know, you can't say the assumption is that she wasn't with anybody. You have visual proof that someone says that they saw her with what happened. Ihachi my time at Rabbi Yossi. So if that's the case, if we're going to say that what we're talking about here is that we clearly know that she had relations with one of the captors. So that would make sense of why Rabbi Yehuda says you have to wait 3 months. Because you know she's not, so you know that she had relations. Ihachi, my time at Rabbi Yossi. How does Rabbi Yossi then say, you don't have to wait 3 months? Right? If you know for sure that she had relations, how does he say, you can't wait, you don't have to wait 3 months? Amaraba, Kesava Rabbi Yossi says, Isha Mizane, a woman who knows she's having relations in this case, Mishamesh Esbamoch, she uses a cloth as birth control. She knows what she's up against, and she knows she doesn't want to get pregnant, so she prepares a moch, she prepares this type of cloth to, as you know, as whatever form of birth control. So because of that, you're not worried that she actually became pregnant, according to Rabbi Yossi, because you know that the woman was smart enough to do use some prevention here. So Bishlam,
only the Shvuya will do that.
So the next question is Bishlama Giyoret, right? So this makes sense for a Giyoret. So it makes sense that a Giyoret, that you're talking about a woman who was converting, Keva de Date Liskare, because she knows that she's planning to convert, right? And therefore, what does she do? Minatra Nafshek, she protects herself. A Shvuya Name, and you know when it comes to a Shvuya, someone who's captured, Dlo Yada Hecha Matmule, she doesn't know what's going to happen to her. She doesn't know who she's going to be sold to. She might be sold and be able to be redeemed by Jewish people tomorrow, so she might be able to return to Jewish society tomorrow. So in both of those cases, both the Giyoret and the Shvuya know that they know or at least are suspecting that there's a possibility of them becoming or returning to the Jewish people very soon. So therefore, they're going to protect themselves to not become pregnant with the whoever, either the captor or whoever they're with also. Shifcha Nami, and also know when it comes to a Shifcha, Shifcha Knanis is a Canaanite slave. When they're freed by their master, they become, you know, Jewish. The Shamami Pi Mara, that she hears from her master that he intends to free her. So therefore, she's also going to use a moch and be careful not to become pregnant. Ella Yotza B'Shein V'Yayin. There's the other concept that we know from Mishpatim, that if you have someone has a Canaanite slave and she gets injured and she loses either a tooth or an eye, for example, she goes free, right? So she's freed. So in that case, there was no advance notice. There was this accident. She goes free. So she didn't have like the advanced notice to prepare herself to use the moch whenever she would have relations. So my ikalemimar, what do we say in that instance? And if you're going to say, Kol Memela Lo Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi doesn't have his leniency where he says you don't have to wait in any case where it's not planned. Memela means it's just an unplanned something that happened. Because you'll say, Hare Anusa Mafuta. When it comes to a woman who's an Anusa or a Mafuta, and she's raped or seduced, the Memela, that in those cases, obviously this isn't something that was planned, right? Vitanya, we learned in a Bereisa, Anusa Mufuta, Tzricha Slahamtim Shloshesh Chadashim, Devar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says in those cases, you she has to wait 3 months. But Rabbi Yossi Matil Yarsli Nasamiyad, he allows her to get married immediately. Again, the same case. So how was he able to do this in a case where it's, again, you know, it's something that's not planned in any way? It's clearly a case of, you know, it just happened. Ella Amar Rava, Rava says, Kesava Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds that Isha Mizane Mufachechas Kidesh Lotis Aver. The woman will somehow turn herself over after relations so that she does not become pregnant. She knows some physical maneuver to make to avoid to become pregnant. The Idach, and what does Rabbi Yehuda say about this? Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says again, you have to wait 3 months. So if you know that the woman is going to somehow contort herself in such a way that she doesn't become pregnant, maybe she didn't know how to do it the right way, or maybe she's not going to turn fast enough, or whatever it is. So he's still worried that she's going to become pregnant. So that's what we're up to. So now, Shenemar, Liloya Asana Noshianesh. So back in our Mishnah, we quoted a Pasuk that said, Pasuk says that that when it comes to if there's a fight between people and they injure, God forbid, a pregnant woman, right? And then if she doesn't die, right? But she miscarries, chas v'shalom, then he anosh ya'anesh. He should be he should have to pay a monetary penalty. So that means that, but what you learn from this is that if the woman were to die, he wouldn't pay the monetary penalty. He would be sentenced to death. So again, this goes back to everything we had talked about for the last few weeks about you don't have both death and a monetary penalty together. So that pasuk would imply that in that case, and this comes from our Mishnah, of where there was a fight and the pregnant woman was impacted, but she didn't die, but she lost her fetus, God forbid, then there's a monetary penalty and there isn't death. But if the woman died, there would be the death and not the monetary penalty. So we learn from this, in theory, that that's the basis of not having the two things together. The Hamahacha Nafka, do we really learn this from that pasuk? Mehasam Nafka, well, no, we learn it from somewhere else. Kedei Rishaso. In everything we had learned previously, we use the pasuk of Kedei Rishaso, that he's punished in accordance with his Risha, meaning Mishum Risha Achas, Atam Mechaivo. He gets one thing via tamechayva mishum shtei rishiyos. You don't obligate him to two different things. You don't subject him to two penalties for the same act, right? That was everything we learned previously. So why do we have two different things to teach us the same thing? The Gemara answers chada b'misa b'mamon. One pasuk teaches us that where he is chayav misa and chayav to pay money, the chada b'malkos b'mamon. One pasuk teaches us where he's chayav for malchus, for whipping, and for mamon. So one would teach us one way, and one would teach us the other way. Utsricha, I need both of them. Why do you need both of them? Di ashmiina misa o mamon, that if you only taught about mamon, money, and misa, and death, mishum di ikud iba neshama, because that the person is going to lose his life, it's a bigger deal. So therefore I know that if he's losing his life, he shouldn't have to pay money. Ava malchus o mamon, but when it comes to whipping, the lack of Ibn Hashama, he's not going to die. He's just going to get, you know, hurt. Amalel, maybe you would think otherwise. Vi Ashmina Malkos Amamon. And if it only taught us about Malkos Amamon, you might think, Mishum Delo Chamer Isura. You might think, you know what, this isn't such a serious transgression, because if it was such a serious transgression, you would put him to death. Aval Misasu Mamon. But where he's liable to death and there's money, the Chamer Isura, where it's a much more significant issue, Amalo, you might think that therefore you should have to pay in that case. Tzricha, therefore you need both things. So you have these two psukim to teach why there are two things. We're going to go through some more examples of this next time, but for now we'll pause. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.